Welcome to Heritage, a series of programmes that looks at the heritage of St Albans. I'm Tim Benson, and I'm in St Albans Museum and Gallery, in the centre of the city. Built as St Albans Town Hall in 1831, in a neoclassical style, it fell out of use when a new civic centre was built in 1966. Plans to develop what had become an underused building began in 2012. And the present museum and gallery opened in 2018. My guest today is Terry Turner, the chairman of the St Albans Tour Guides. Welcome, Terry. Can I start by asking you to tell us a bit about yourself and how you are involved in understanding St Albans' heritage?
Yeah, surely, Tim. My whole main job in life was as a salesman for Ever Ready Batteries. Some of your listeners may have heard of Ever Ready. They're now known as Energizer. And how I got involved in heritage started long, long ago when, I have a passion for history, because I believe we learn from history, and of course without history that we know today and probably know tomorrow. And I got involved with guiding when I retired, and one day I looked in the Hearts Advertiser and there was a little note there saying that there was a Victorian walk. So I thought, well, this is interesting. So along I went and I met the then guide, Ginny Briscoe, and a number of other people. A nice, lovely, warm evening in the summer. And Julie had this Victorian walk, which started at the station and finished at the cathedral, and I'd always enjoyed guided walks. So I inquired of Ginny, how do you become a guide? And she said, well, very shortly we're starting a course for St Albans tour guides. So I applied and was accepted, and along with another 20 people, I started off on this 9-week course to gain a certificate from the Institute of Tour Guiding. And it was a very enjoyable experience. We met most Saturday mornings, and on other occasions we gathered together as a group and we made friends, and it was a very enjoyable experience. And at the end, all of us that remained, we passed. It had to be said that some people dropped out along the way because it wasn't quite what they expected. There was a lot of work to it, and testing at the end. We had to be examined, walking around the city, and as written to make sure that we'd retaining some of the knowledge that we were told over the months. And that was about 12 years ago, and since then I've enjoyed every moment as tour guiding and hope to continue for some considerable time.
Well, I'm talking to the right person who must know a lot about St Albans, but it sounds like a very rigorous training.
It was indeed rigorous training. As I said, we met pretty much every Saturday morning, and we also did lots of practical walks with mentors, people that were already guides. And we spent many hours, and we had experience. It didn't matter whether it was raining or it was cold. And I remember one particular occasion when we were in the Roman Theatre, and it was a pretty miserable day. It was sort of a chill northerly wind with rain across, and it was very, very cold. And one of my fellow trainees said, Terry, if ever I pass this course, I am never, ever going to step into this theatre again. And to my knowledge, she never has.
It's a good story. How come, what you're doing is elucidating and developing for people the wonderful heritage of St Albans. How can we use that to educate our residents, and particularly young people?
Well, what we do try to do is we take people on the walks, historic walks, but what we don't do, it is not a walking history lesson, because we find lots of young people may well be bored at school by history lessons. I wasn't. I've always had a passion for history. But some people do not like history. And from time to time, we guide young people to come along with their parents. And hopefully they start off looking very bored as they... But, as I say, it's not a walking history lesson, and we bring lots in about the people that lived in St Albans. We don't just go around describing buildings. We have lots of wonderful buildings. We're very fortunate in St Albans, the wealth of buildings. But we try and... You know, the people that lived in the buildings, the people that made the buildings, how the buildings have developed from, in one case, very prestigious inns that actually turned into tenements and were rife with cholera, even from the beginning of the last century. So that's how we do. We really do involve young people. We do lots of walks for schools, brownies, cubs, scouts. We even have foreign students. There's a Bell's language school not very far from here, and every year we take people around from Bell's language school, and because we try to temper our language, not to bring in English slang, because they are trying to learn English and some are better than others. But hopefully, you know, at the end they go away and they know not just things about St Albans, but they learn a little bit about English history.
I think you made an important point there about it's not just, heritage is not just about the buildings, it's also about the people who lived and how they functioned and so on. That's very interesting. Do you think the city does a good job in preserving its heritage for the future generations?
I do. I think... At one stage, certainly in the 1970s, like many other towns, heritage didn't seem to matter, and there was great plans of demolishing buildings. And I believe at one time there was talk of demolishing this building where we are now, the town hall. And French Road, that we know very well, this wonderful little historic street at the top end, near the entrance to the Christopher Place shopping centre, lots of old buildings were destroyed, and we've got this rather bland modern building stuck in there. And there were actually plans to destroy much of French Row until... it was decided a number of people got together and thought, well, if we destroy all these old buildings, why would people want to come to St Albans? The jewel in the crown, of course, is a cathedral. But if you didn't have anything else except the cathedral, it could hardly be described as a day out. But now you can come to St Albans and spend not only a day, you can spend a number of days in St Albans and the surrounding district.
Yeah, the character of St Albans is about its historic past, isn't it? And it's interesting what you're saying about, in a way, conservation becoming relatively recent in terms of people's thinking about their built environment, wanting to knock things down, perhaps in the 60s, and now we've got a reversal where people want to try and preserve things for future generations.
Absolutely, and I think we've done a great job in St Albans, not only just preserving what we have, but illustrating the things better. And quite recently, you may have seen in various places, you know, there's graffiti appeared, and it attracts people to the site, and we. Maybe people don't know about Sovereign Way, which is a marketplace. It's a little alleyway which runs off at the side, and you probably pass by that. But now you approach it, not only is it an information board, but this rather wonderful graffiti, which I'm sure attracts many people. And the story of St Albans, Sovereign Way, is very interesting because it's all to do with democracy.
It's the election scandal of 1851, isn't it? And of course, that mural, which is by our local artist, Anne Steele, is the start, I think, of, I hope, more explanatory artwork for the city. I think Ant would probably say, it's not graffiti, it's mural art, but I know what you mean. It's done with spray cans and so on, yes.
Yes, forgive me for that. So I think to me, and probably the vast majority of the population, it is graffiti. There's thoughts about graffiti in the cathedral, for instance. When does graffiti become part of heritage and a story? How old does it have to be?
Yes, some idle hand scratching away, and now we actually see it as part of our heritage. They're pointing to someone, yes.
Absolutely,
things change. So, heritage obviously important, and we've talked about how it can help residents and educate young people. What about that whole element of attracting tourism and economic development for a city?
Well, certainly tourism, it's a great help, as I said before. Without the old buildings, apart from the cathedral, why would people want to come to St Albans? We're a great commuter city, and we've really always grown up as ever since the railways came, the attractions of St Albans and Harpenden, which is in the district, have grown because of commuting into the city. And now, there's talk of lots more development, and I suspect the majority of those people will either work from home or they will get on a train and go into St Pancras, this wonderful journey of 21 minutes. So St Albans is in a unique position. It's never been what we'd call an industrial town. Heavy industry, I think, was really confined to the gasworks, which used to be down at the bottom of Horrewill Hill near Sainsbury's. But there's been lots of light industries over the years, very important industries. And we as guides, we actually do a talk called Made in St Albans, which surprises many people. People that have lived here for many, many years, they look and they ask questions. And one of the things about the guides is, people say, well, I've lived here for 40 years and I never knew that, or I'd never noticed that. So, yes, it's, we feel as guides that we can help in this respect. And there's a great future for St Albans. It's expanding apace, and there are thoughts about that. But it's just a wonderful place to live, and it will develop.
Well, the point you made is very interesting about, we are so close to London, 20 minutes plus on the train, very easy. And when you think about St Albans' history, of course, it starts really as a pilgrim town, and then, of course, it becomes a coaching stop. So we've always been somewhere to come and visit. And when you come and visit, it's really useful to have people like yourself and the city guides taking people around and explaining, because as you say, even residents don't know half of the history of St Albans.
No, indeed. We have to talk about St Albans and district, because we've got wonderful old Iron Age villages like Wheathampstead, and you've got Redbourne, which had 15 coaching inns or taverns in the main street of Redbourne. And of course you've got Harpenden, which was quite a small town until the coming of the railways, and now it's it's a very large and desirable place to live. It will always be I think a place of interest, and people like to come to a place of interest. And we as guys, we like to think that we enhance their trip when they visit here.
It is wonderful, but it's going from the Iron Age all the way through right up to modern day, quite amazing. But Terry, the guides now, the St Albans guides, they've been around for 60 years. How are you celebrating this?
Well, yeah, indeed, 60 years ago this year, 1964, the guide started. It was the St Albans, They had a gala, an arts festival in 1964. And people at the time thought, well, we really need people to, show people around St Albans. So the tour guides were formed. It formed in a very small way, and it was part of the committee that was organising the Arts Council. And a man called Knapp, Mr Knapp, everybody was known as Mr. Mr Knapp got together with other people, and they decided that they would put an advert in the newspaper and advertise the fact that they wanted guides, inviting people along who might be interested. And the response was absolutely overwhelming. Lectures were done via various people. One of the ladies was Elsie Toms, a very well-known local. And there were three main people on it. The mayor was the president. And the other part of the guiding committee was the dean of the cathedral. And it got so popular that they had to stipulate that, only people that are really interested in becoming guides should come along to the lectures. And walks were organised, three walks. One was a historic walk of the city centre, and one was the Roman Theatre and the Roman Verulaneum in itself, and these were organised. And eventually they had what they called suitable people. Now, I'm always puzzled how they worked out who the suitable people were, but we won't go into that. But yeah, people were chosen. And when the arts festival was finished, it was thought, well, this is a good idea, why don't we continue? And it's been continued ever since, so from small beginnings to where we are now. Primarily, of course, just local people came on the walks because there was just press advertising. And you may think, well, over the years, all the people who sent Albans have been on all these walks and they know everything. But of course, new people arrive because St Albans is the population shifts quite a lot. And so there's always new people coming along, and surprisingly, younger people. And I suppose younger people could mainly be described as perhaps 30 onwards, when they're looking for other things to do. But the beauty of it is now, because of social media, particularly we have a website, if you just put in St Albans Tour Guide, you'll find your way to our website. We get lots of people from outside the district, North London, Watford, Hemel Hempstead, further afield. We get people come from the U3 organisation, to a place like Surrey and Bedford. People come for the day on a coach, and we guide them round. That is the key to their day, because they're guided round, and when they have spare time, we can recommend places that they may well be interested in. So we feel that we've got an important role. And ever since the formation of the guides, we've been very much involved with the local council. And I say the mayor used to be the president, and at one time we rose to the height of Lord Verulam was our president. But the mayor is still our patron, and they've always showed a great interest in the tour guides. They do value us, and we not only take people on walks around the city, we guide people around Verulaneum, the old Verulaneum, around the museums, the Roman Theatre. We do specialist walks and talks, and there's something like a dozen talks and a dozen different walks, and people come back time and again. Lots of people turn up and say, oh, we've been on all your walks, but my friends come and we've we brought them on the walk. So we're obviously doing something right, and you know, we hope that we can continue into the future.
Well, St Albans tour guides have become part of the city's heritage. Congratulations to you, Terry, and all your colleagues for the work you do, voluntary body that you are. Great stuff, and yes, part of St Albans heritage, St Albans tour guides. Thank you very much, Terry.
Thank you.
I was talking to Terry Turner, chairman of St Albans Tour Guides Association. Can I thank the sponsors of these heritage programmes? St Albans Cathedral, St Albans and Hertfordshire Architectural and Archaeological Society, City and District of St Albans Tour Guides, and Conservation 50.